later this year, I'm going to talk to you about the importance of why we want to be the best we can be in every community and why the businesses of a community are important to us. The successes of what happens in those businesses are important to us. Right? Everybody follow where I'm coming from? Now, with that little introduction, Lord willing, I'll be able to get through everything I want to tell you this morning. We have a responsibility, and I'm making an appeal to you. Now, those of you who know me, I don't talk about money. I don't talk about giving. So this is going to be an unusual message. So if you're a visitor who comes this morning and say, every time I go to church, they always talk about money. I don't. Today's an exception. If you don't want to hear about money, now would be a great time to get up and walk. Because we got to talk about it. It's a sensitive issue, and we got to talk it through. Everybody with me? See where I'm coming from? All right, let's start from the beginning. As you know me, I start everything from back here at creation. Because creation is where it all happens. This is the beginning. This sets the standard for what everything else is. I can't know what all of life is about if I just act like I'm some sort of accident out here in time. I'm not. I am connected all the way back to all the people that were connected to me. I am a child of this one, 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 all the way back to my first parents, Adam and Eve. All of us were in Adam and Eve. Their genetic code is a human code. And every offspring they have is going to be human. From conception. Everybody follow me there? From conception, they are human. The genetic code that's in there is half the dad's genetic code, half the mom's genetic code. It's all living. It's always a genetic code. And that goes in, those parts mix together, and a whole new person is created with his own genetic code. But it's human. Everybody with me? It all starts back here. So if I want to find out how I'm supposed to live out there in time, I need to know what I was supposed to live like at first in time. So follow with me on this. Here's the way it goes. From the foundation, from the beginning, be fruitful and multiply is what God said to do. He set up a principle that takes place with be fruitful and multiply that I want us to understand. First of all, the foundation is this. God created all things to reproduce itself east after its own kind. Every time he made a plant, he said, its seed in it that it would bring forth after its own kind. Bermuda grass will bring forth Bermuda grass. Now, I know that may not be much to you, but for my garden, that means a lot. Bermuda grass takes over everything. There is not a way to kill that stuff. Because God ordained Bermuda grass would reproduce and make more Bermuda grass. Now I got to learn to work with God's system. Killing Bermuda grass is not a fun thing. But I will tell you this, I count on the tomatoes that I have because they also reproduce after their own kind. Everybody with me on that? It is a law. God has said every living thing brings forth after its own kind. Everything does. So go on with that. Number two, it all belongs to its creator who gives it for provision, use, and enjoyment. I love all the things that God has given us. I love to go on hikes. That's something our family loves to do. We love hikes. We like taking a look around and seeing what God's done in this world. I love looking at God's world all over. But I know this, he's given it for my enjoyment. He's given it for my use. I'm glad to have property. I'm glad to have some place to live, aren't you? I'm glad for all of those things. I'm glad to have a vehicle that takes me places. I'm glad to have something to put in the vehicle that takes me places. I am grateful for all the things God has given me to use. I'm grateful for his provision. I'm getting to eat. And I'm grateful for his provision. I'm getting to breathe. And I'm grateful for his provision. It's all his. He's given it for our use. And that's what known as stewardship. It's been given to us for our use, our provision and enjoyment. It's called stewardship. It's not ours to own. It's ours to use. Letter B, the principle. Here's the foundation. We just gave that to you. The principle is, whatever a man sows, that is what he reaps. And most often he reaps more than he sows. If you put in acorn seed, you usually get up a corn plant. With the corn plant, you usually get 3 to 4 to 5 ears, depending on what kind of corn it is. You get more than you planted. But that's a principle that he's put there. Whatever a man sows, he can know that's what he reaps because he's put into it that whatever you sow, Because it reproduces after its own kind, it'll always be that that comes up. So it becomes important to us to know what to sow, doesn't it? In other words, if I know this, if I sow corn, I get corn. If I sow Bermuda, I get Bermuda. If I sow whatever it is I sow, that's what's going to come up. That's the same thing that's true about thoughts. If I sow a grieving thought, what do I know I'm going to reap? Grieving. If I sow bitterness, what do I know I'm going to get? Bitterness. It doesn't work any other way. You can't sow bitterness and hope to get happiness out of it. If I'm going to sow criticism, what can I know I'm going to get out of it? More criticism. We sow and we reap, and we always reap what we sow. Going on further. So that has good parts to it, has bad parts to it, doesn't it? If I sow encouragement, what do I know takes place with the people who get to see that? They are encouraged. And I'll ask you this. Would you rather be encouraged or someone slap you in the face with a criticism? Yeah, you'd rather have the encouragement. Because we know the law of sowing and reaping. You follow where I'm at? So if I sow gratitude, what do I know I'm going to reap? Yes, there's going to be grace that comes. There's more gratitude that comes from it. It's gratefulness that comes from it. I change. The people that I'm speaking to change. Everything starts to change from it because of sowing and reaping. All right. Going on to letter C, the application of it. Sowing is the work done and reaping is the benefit from it. But notice this, both require effort and commitment. My garden, there are times that if I don't reap everything I need to reap, there are times that I'll get tomatoes back up. They're growing wildly. They're going up on their own. I might get some broccoli back. It's growing wildly on its own. I get some mustard back. It grows wildly on its own sometimes. But for the most part, I have to do the effort. I have to dig up the ground. I have to put that seed in there. I have to put the effort in myself. I'm knowing that I'm counting on that work done, I'm looking for the benefit that comes from it. I'm expecting it. Why? Because of the law of sowing and reaping. Everybody with me on that? Let's go on to the next. Giving as the stewardship of sowing and reaping. Now I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles, please, because in a few moments we're going to be at Proverbs chapter 3. So if you turn to Proverbs just for a moment. From creation, let's make sure we're getting this. From creation, let it be known, it is not ours. We didn't make it. And we didn't have anything to do with its coming into this world. He's given it to us to use. It is not ours, and we cannot keep it. You won't take any of your tomatoes with you to heaven. You won't take any of your money with you to heaven. You won't take any of the things that you sow here with you to heaven. It has been given to you. It's not ours. We cannot keep it. It's ours to use and to be fruitful with. That's what stewardship is called. Using it and being fruitful with it. Stewardship is the ground of reward and loss. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands this. Let's talk just for a moment about your jobs. Okay? We're going to talk more about this later, but I'm going to give you this thought with you today. Some of us think of our jobs as that which I kind of regret, but it's what provides my payment for my house and payment for my bills and all that. And my job is also now what provides a little extra things for us. I don't like my job. I don't care for my job, but you got to do it. You got to have an income. Let me just stop right here and say this. Work was ordained from creation. Work is not a result of sin. The obstacles in work is a result of sin. But work was from the beginning. God counts work noble. Your work has intrinsic value, not just the extrinsic value of a paycheck. God's holding you responsible for the way that you work, not just the paycheck you get. The paycheck is His provision. But the way that you work, the attitude that you have, the Christ that's in you that you're revealing, that is, how do you work? Do you work diligently? Do you do everything heartily as to the Lord? Or do you do just what you have to do to the boss? Are you looking to say, Jesus, I'm doing this because I know you're going to hold me responsible for one day for what I did with my job. You gave it to me. And I'm grateful for it. And instead of me complaining about my job and about how bad things is, I want to thank you for the obstacles you've given me in my job, for the hard things you've given me in my job, because through those, I'm learning to be more like Jesus. He learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Thank you for the things you've given me in my job, because I know you're holding me responsible for my job. This is the basis of my reward or loss. If I'm taking my job with thanksgiving and I'm working it diligently with all my heart, I know I get rewarded for that. And it's not just in this life. For you see, kids, it's through your job, whether that's housework at home and you're just staying home. You have a job and you know it. There's no way you're going to stay home and not have something to do. It's there. And plenty of good hard work. That work's important. It has intrinsic value to it. Not just the extrinsic value of having a nice home. That's a benefit you derive from it. The intrinsic value is God gave you a home. And you're learning to be more and more just like God. Just like the one that he created. You're being fruitful in your home. And if you have a job that's away from the home, you're learning to be fruitful in your home, in your job, because that's what he called you to. It has intrinsic value. Everybody see where I'm at? That's stewardship. That's what we're called to do. More about that in another message a little bit later. From wisdom, look at Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Giving as the stewardship of sowing and reaping. Look what it says in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now watch what he said. If I'm honoring the Lord with my possessions and with the first fruits of all my increase, what did he say he would do? Increase it. Increase it. Now, look, I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher at all. You think you know that about me. But I can say this. The principle is still there because the principle of sowing and reaping is there. If I'm sowing with the right heart, if I'm taking care of my possessions with the right heart, God has said the benefit I'll derive from it, he'll increase it. That's plain and simple. And he's writing this as wisdom literature. Let me go on with you next. From God's grace. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll more than likely stay there the rest of our time together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is writing this one because the Corinthians, they were a pretty wealthy church. They had a lot of very wealthy people in it. People with ways of means. And those people had promised to give an offering to take care of the poor people living in Judea. God had sent a famine to all those people in Judea, and that famine now had created no small problem for them all. In addition to a famine, they were now under persecution from the other Jewish people there. This is mostly a Jewish group of people. They were under persecution, so getting a job was very difficult to do. Getting support from your family was very difficult because you had chosen this Christ way instead of sticking with the Jewish way. So these people in this territory were having a struggle to get by. Paul had gone to all the churches in all the European area, all of the Asia Minor area, and he had spoken to them about the people in Judea where the gospel had come from. And he asked them, could you care for our brothers? Could you take some of your abundance and give to our brothers who have nothing? They have an abundance of poverty. You have an abundance of wealth. We can have a great equality going here. If you took some of your wealth and gave some of that to their poverty, then both of you would be a little better off. Okay? So that's what this epistle is written about. They had promised that they would do that. And somewhere along the way, they had cut out on their promise. They weren't following through. So he's coming to make an appeal to them. He's coming to let them know the Macedonians, who are poor folk, are giving beyond what they have. They're giving out of everything they've got. And he said, I've told all the churches what a great church you guys are. Because you are wealthy people. You're generous people. You would give. So I'm calling on you. Follow through on your commitment. Follow through. Okay. Now, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, look what he says. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I'm calling this simply from God's grace. Give because you have been given so much. Look around sometime and let gratitude take over for you. Take complaint and wad it up, if you would. Throw it in the trash and let's be people of gratitude. What has He given to you? Look at that. The grace that He's given to you, you have Bibles in your hands. Now, I posted a video this week on Facebook to show people what great thing had taken place with some Chinese people who got a Bible in their own language. They wept. They hugged it. They kissed it. They were so glad because they were going to have the whole counsel of their Creator in their own language. They could hear it. They could study it. They loved it. You have a Bible. Some of you have many Bibles. You have been given an understanding. You have been given resources that are immense. You know, when we give, when we go to India and we give tools to guys, they're just looking and saying, we're so glad to have a Strong's Concordance. Right now, you can go to an online or Power Bible, either one, and look up all the words and have them that quickly. One touch. Zoom! There's every reference to that word all the way through it. You have resources at your fingertips. You have places to worship. Comfortable places to worship. Most of the places where I went in India, we sat on the floor. They were grateful to have a floor. Some of them would bring a mat, but most of the time, it's just a concrete floor. You follow where I'm at? You have been given abundance. Abundance. You have a place to park. You have vehicles to get you here. You understand what I'm saying? And so he's saying, since you abound in everything else, since God has been gracious to you to give you everything else, I am asking you, please follow through on this grace too. He has given you everything. Release it. Take the hand off of it. Go on further, because I want you to see he was appealing to him even more. Giving is a stewardship of sowing and reaping from Christ's example. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. I cannot even imagine. I try to imagine what heaven is like. But I don't think I've got enough opulence anywhere in my even videos I've watched to recognize how opulent is that place. It's the source of everything else in the universe. And that's where he was. With every created thing bowing to him. And he left that because of the love he has for this place. The love that he has for this creation and what he made that was very good, that we, by our sin, cast into all kinds of futility. And he gave up all of that. Now, I could get it if he gave up all of that and came to a palace to be born in and among some opulence there. But he didn't. In a stable. In the outdoors. And he grew up poor. He grew up not having much of anything. He grew up being a servant. Why did he do that? Because he did not count the poverty or the brokenness or anything else a thing to be grasped, something to be complaining about. No, you see, he said that he would endure all of this for what was on the other side. That all of this is worth going through for what's on the other side. You see, he's already looked out here. He already saw all of you. And he knew that the price he's going to pay there to purchase you here was worth every bit of it. He would give up everything he had to give you the grace to be rich. Now, you have inherited everything that he's going to inherit. All of his riches, all of his grace, all of his goodness, all of his opulence, everything is coming to you because he gave up everything here. And that's the appeal he's making to all of us. How can we deny him who gave up everything by saying, Jesus, will you be happy with 20 this week? That's all I'm willing to give this week. Jesus, will you be happy with, well, this week I can't give anything. You know, we got vacation coming up. We got da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You follow me? He gave up everything for us. So he's making an appeal to him. Why are you holding on to what you can't keep? Why you got your handhold so tight on what you can't keep? Why are you spending on yourself what belongs to me? I gave you everything. Go on with me further. Christ's humble gift transformed you. Christ's humble gift transformed you. He gave you new life. Where would you be today if the Lord Jesus Christ had not given him his life for you? Do you understand that what we're living in now, until we know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is all the heaven we're ever going to have. This is it. Better make something really wonderful out of this one, because this is all the heaven you're going to get. For after this, it isn't nearly so sweet. Okay, we'll go into that to another time as well. In letter E, from compassionate equality. Look in 2 Corinthians 8:13-15. From compassionate equality, it says, for I do not mourn that others should be eased, or I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be an equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Now he's saying this. Look, you've got an abundance of things here, and these people have an abundance of poverty. They have a great need. If you took your abundance here, just even a portion of your abundance here, and you gave it to them, there'd be an equality. They'd at least have enough to live on now. They'd have something to go with now. They'd have something to live and be provided with. And what would they do for it? Here's what. You have a great need to give. They have a great need to receive. And when they receive, God gets this great gift of thanksgiving given to him. So you're thankful that your gift provided for them and God had provided for you. And now they're thankful receiving it to God. And this we know, it is the will of God in Christ Jesus in everything to give thanks. Right? We know that God is glorified when we're giving thanks to God for the opportunity to be giving something and meeting someone's need with it. And they're giving thanks to God for having their need met. In both situations, God is praised. He's given thanks for it. And in a return, he's given the increase back for it. You follow that? Listen, your mind and attitude and everything about you change when you go from complaining to gratitude. Everything about you changes when you believe God is good instead of God is stealing from you. Everything changes in your own heart when you free up the hold we have on what God has given. Okay. Going on further. It's from the principle of sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Here, look what it says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Now let me ask you this. Do you suppose if I want to have a lot of corn, the best way to do it is plant one corn seed? How's the best way for me to get a lot of corn? Plant a lot of corn, right? Because the law of sowing and reaping has me reaping more than I sow. So I want to sow maybe 15 corn. Those 15 corn plants turn up with 15 now. That they, each one's got 3 on it even. I wound up with 45 ears of corn that have how much? What, 100-something ears on each one? Or kernels on each one? I'm going to get more than I sowed. You follow where we're at? So he's appealing to them to give because you'll get back more than you sow. Now, that's the basis that people believe in the wealth prosperity doctrine. That's not what I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you simply this, that when your attitude is right toward your giving, God increases your gift. God increases it. It does something that you can't possibly do by yourself. If I can say it this way, if we give little, we receive little. If we give much, we receive much. To what are we sowing and what do we expect we will be receiving? Galatians 6:10, or 6:6-10, teaches us this, that we receive in kind to what we sow. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap of the Spirit. If we sow to the flesh, we reap in the flesh, corruption. Whatever we sow to, that's what we're going to reap. If we sow stinginess, what do you suppose is going to come back? Stinginess. Greed. Desire to hang on to more. And as the proverb said, riches have wings. Sometimes they take off. And they fly and you don't have them anymore. Solomon wrote regarding inheritances. He said, I've saved up all of this money. I've got it all saved. And I look around and I see, and who's going to get it but my foolish son, who doesn't know how to do anything but spend. He does not know how hard a work it was to get what I have. And I'll pass it on to fools. We do have to consider what we're sowing to and reaping from, do we not? Going on further. Proper sowing is paying it forward. In 1 Timothy 6:17-19, he told those who are rich in this world, don't hold on to it. God has given you all things freely to enjoy, but instead send it forward. For you're laying up for yourselves now treasures in heaven. You're laying up for yourselves now things that will be rich for you, a great foundation when you get there. God is looking for the way you deal with the sources he's given you. That's what it was about. If I can say further, let's make an application of it all. I know my time is nearly gone, so let's make an application. Application number one, adjust your thinking. Adjust your thinking. Get the big picture. Can we just outline that for you? Here's the way that big picture is. Think about who you are just for a moment. You were a child of wrath. Through Jesus' humble gift, you are now a child of God. You once were condemned to hell, but now you are going to heaven for an everlasting gift with Him, an everlasting life with Him. Once you were just condemned. Now you're fully forgiven and accepted. Who are you? What's your purpose? Why are you here? It isn't just for your own comfort. We're not here, kids, just so we can have the things that we want to have and have a comfortable life going at the same time. That's not what our purpose is. We have a purpose to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Everything we have is a stewardship, and we're going to give an account for that stewardship one day. Where are you going? Listen, this is not all the life there is. This is the short part. The long part's to come. And the long part is the benefit of the investment we're making now. Now, let me just back up and make sure I understand this. An expense is something you spend and it's used up immediately. An investment is something you do that has a return to it. They both are spending. But an expense has no return to it. It's you buy a meal, you get a meal. You're done. A few days, meal's gone. You understand what I'm saying? But to make an investment, to invest in eternity, has a return to it. To make an investment in the life of someone who is going somewhere else to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the investment you have on that return is that all those people are become a part of your investment in heaven as well. They're part of your joy when you get to heaven. Because you released some of your sources and some of your resources, it went to someone else's life. And you invested in everlasting life for somebody else. God's made us co-laborers with Him, kids. Plain and simple. Let me go further. The big picture is it's not yours. You cannot keep it. You can enjoy it. You can use it. It is the foundation of your reward. And you can send it ahead. So it's best to think about it right now. Get the big picture. I can send this ahead. I can't keep this. God has given me this to enjoy, but I can send it ahead. And number three, money is a tool. It's not an end in itself. It's a tool. And the use of it is the indicator of the level of your understanding of your relationship to God, your submission to Him, and your love for Him. Let me see if I can show you the one illustration where there was one man who really wanted to hold his resources. He came to Jesus to talk to Jesus about everlasting life. He wanted to follow Jesus. He was a very rich man. He was wanting to hold to all his resources. And he gladly followed Jesus if he gets to hold to his resources. Jesus was not interested in a man's resources. He's interested in the man's heart. And he said, go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Because he was a man of great wealth. He wanted to hold his security. Our security is not in what we cannot keep. It's only in what we can keep. Right? Let's go this. Get intentional about it. 2 Corinthians 9:7 speaks this to us. We are to have purposeful giving from the heart. Look what he says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Purposeful giving from the heart. Let me talk real frank with you here. Live free. Live free. Get out of debt and stay out of debt. If there's any advice I could give the young people right now, it's this. Get out of debt, stay out of debt. If you're in debt already, get that thing reduced. If you're using credit cards, they pay extremely high interest. They are requiring you, and what you're doing, you're spending tomorrow's wealth. That's wealth you won't get to use tomorrow. That's wealth you won't get to use for months to come. Do everything you can to reduce debt. I can see if there's an economic collapse, that's only wisdom anyway. But do everything you can to get out of debt. Why? You can't give what you don't have. There's no way you can give to help somebody else when you're already obligated with so many obligations in your debt. You're not free. You're a bound slave because the servant is the borrower is the servant to the lender. Get out of debt and stay out of debt. How to do that? Well, one thing for sure, you'll have to learn to delay your gratification. Delay your gratification. Credit becomes so easy, doesn't it? Because you can have now what you don't have money for, thinking that you'll pay it off in the future. What future? What do you know about your job? You say, well, it's very secure. Really? I don't know how secure jobs are because I don't know how well that company is doing all of its financing. I don't know how well it's doing with its promoting and its marketing and its product. Neither do you. They're sure not going to send to you a notification that says, hey, company's going in the hole. We're doing great. You know, delay your gratification. Put off what you think you got to have. Here's some other things to help you. Write down your monthly take home. Yes, I understand that the government takes a good portion of it. So write down your take home. I used to say just do your gross, but anymore I'm just saying plain net because the government's going to take its portion first. Okay? So write down what you're taking home monthly. Then as soon as you do that, purpose what you want to give. Now, I had want there now. I had need before. And when I put need there, I was simply saying this. When you are now looking at your monthly income, write down what is needed by the people we know at church. What is needed by my mission folk? What is needed by all of those? So they have expenses they're going to have too. They're counting on your gift to get them through. Everybody follow where I'm at? And when you miss your gift, what happens? They miss theirs. Now let me ask you this. If you each month could not count on what you're bringing in, would you feel more stable or more insecure? And if some months there was just all of a sudden $500 is not there, would that affect you at all? Yeah. So consider, what do you need to give? What's the need? What do I really need to give in order to meet the things that I know are important for eternity? All right. So you can put what you want to give or what you need to give and then track your obligations. Put down what you think you're going to have to be spending. you know you're going to have light bills, you know you're going to have sewer bills and water bills and all this sort of thing. That's not your money either. You're committed that money to somebody else. You're going to have to live there someplace. Here's a way to help save on some money. Record every expense daily. Record every expense. Now, that means as you're going to the express stop, you stop at the gas station. And as you go inside, look at the gas station. The gas station's been wise in their promotion of things, and they have all the candy sitting right there. They have all the sodas not far away where you can see them. They have all the little things that you need and the opportunity to get wealthy overnight. Just buy two or three of those. They're a buck. $5. What's that? Here's what it is. Write it down every day. Both you and your spouse, if you're married, write it down every day. And then come home and count this. Here's all the expenses I had for today. And I mean that you spent with your credit card, everything else. And ask yourself the question, how many hours do I have to work this week to make that payment? How much time did it take me to make that payment? Okay. And then stop the waste. That's what that little block is out there. Stop the waste. You could probably provide for several missionaries if you stop the waste of what you're spending just at those express stops. What you're spending that you really didn't need to buy, but it looked like it was a good sale, and somebody might need it sometime. You follow where I'm at? Because I can tell you there is somebody who is going to need it. It's going to be those people who are trying to do that ministry in Bangladesh. It is to be free will giving. Notice how he said it here, that let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Free will giving. That's not resenting the action. That's not saying, oh, I already promised I was going to give 25 cents to the church and I need that 25 cents. No, it's being able to look at it and say, I don't resent this. I am glad that I can participate in the lives of other people with this small gift. I am glad. I don't resent giving at all. God's got things he wants to do with the resources. God gave me all of this already. So not grudgingly and not out of duty or have to. Not out of duty or have to. In other words, you're not just looking at it and saying, I got to give this. I promised I would, so I'll keep my word. That's not free will. That's like having to make your household payment from the house that you borrowed money for. You got to give it. Okay. Enjoyable giving. Enjoying how God will make it increase. The word he uses here, God loves a cheerful giver. And I think I've told you this before, probably many times. The word that is used here for cheerful is the word from which we get our word hilarious. In other words, I'm being able to laugh about this. Hallelujah, I know this. You see, I plant one corn seed. And one plant comes up with 3, 4, 5 ears on it with lots more kernels on it. I'm planting this and this is coming up. Planting this, this is coming up. When I plant to God's work, more increase comes from it. Do you follow that? That's the law of sowing and reaping. You're just planting this amount and you say, well, what can my $200 do? It isn't just your $200. It's the collected gift of everybody's $200. Now that gets more serious, doesn't it? All of a sudden, that's quite a little bit of money that you get to work with. And the things that you needed to take care of are taken care of because all gave. It's expectant giving. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. Here's what you're saying. I know that as I give this, God will take care of me. God will take care of me. And I know as I give this, he will take care of others by what I'm doing. He will take care of others. And I know this because God is who he is, that he's not a stingy God, that in fact he has given me everything that I need and will do that more and abundantly. He rewards me generously. He rewards me generously or generously rewards you for it. All right? That's the joy of giving, friends. That's the joy of giving. It's all about learning about who we are, what we have, where we're going, what's important. It's about setting priorities on everything. And then it's about enjoying the fact that, hallelujah, I am sowing and I will reap much. I know that when I sow bountifully, I reap bountifully. I know that when I sow sparingly, I reap sparingly. It's stewardship. I know that I'm not borrowing against tomorrow. I'm using what I have right now, and I'm delaying my gratification. I don't need to have it right now. I can wait. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you and I praise you because you are truly the awesome God. I thank you, Father, for the privilege you've given us of having the Word of God ourselves. Thank you for the joy you've shown to us. Thank you for the kindness you've shown to us, the abundance that we have. Father, help us to live free. And to this end, I'm going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.